Man, are you chasing after him? Amen. If you would open your Bibles, stand with me if you're not already. Amen. To Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Our theme in 2016 at Calvary Gospel Church, as Pastor has mentioned, is expect. In the month of February, Pastor is going to start unpackaging that theme and presenting it going forward, but talking about what we should expect, what we can expect as Christians. And knowing that was our theme, a few weeks ago, a scripture popped out when I read it. And that's what we're going to be speaking on this morning, Ecclesiastes 1, starting in verse 12. And I'm speaking from the New King James Version, reading from the New King James Version. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven, this burdensome task God had given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. All is vanity and grasping for the wind. In the New Living Translation, verse 14 says, I observed everything going on under the sun, and really it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. Chasing the wind. And that's what we're going to speak on this morning, is chasing the wind. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down and just ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you so much, God, for your presence that we feel in this place. We thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy and grace in our lives. I pray, speak to our hearts through your word this morning, God. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Let your word penetrate, Lord Jesus, those walls, God, that we've built up, God. Speak to us, challenge us, stir us, God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus. You are a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. To chase the wind. Have you ever thought about doing that? I never really have. Probably because, I don't know, it's kind of impossible. But reading this scripture really made me think about it. All I came up was the impossibility of that task. I mean, where does one start when chasing wind? How does one know what direction to run? How does it's to run, and where do you start? It's really a word picture of doing things in vain, doing things that ultimately have no purpose or no meaning. It's just chasing your tail. That's another phrase that kind of coincides with that. It just, you're doing something, you're going after something, and it results in absolutely nothing. And you look back and you're like, where's the substance? Okay, it's gone. It's like the wind. You're like, okay, it's going this way. And then it's all of a sudden dies. And you're like, wait a minute, I feel it. The wind is impossible to chase. There are some things that we can expect as a Christian, but there are other things in our lives that we tend to look to with expectation. But at the end of the day, the result is simply unrealized expectation. It's like chasing wind. Expecting a result, but never actually getting anywhere or actually accomplishing anything. King Solomon was the one who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He was a king over Israel and was known as the wisest king. Early on in his leadership, God asked him what he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. And so God granted that, and he got it. He was known as a wise king. He became super famous around the world, and folks flocked to Israel to hear his wisdom and in handling matters. And in addition to wisdom, he was also the wealthiest man alive. If you research his life, you will find out that he also applied himself to learning. So he was educated. He was wealthy. He was famous. He was a king. He was wise. Oh, yeah, and he indulged. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, princesses of foreign lands, Pharaoh's daughter, on and on. You know, man, my wife is such a blessing. He was probably just looking for more blessing. I don't know what's going on there. See the positive thing I took instead of 700 wives? It's blessing. I think that's what he's looking for, expecting it or something. Glory. Chasing the wind. Amen. You set me up there. Hallelujah. And so that is Solomon, who we look to today, the author of Ecclesiastes, the man who penned the words, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. If anyone can testify to the fact that there are areas in life that we pursue after with an expectation in our hearts and minds that end up leaving us with the unrealized expectation, it's Solomon. He can testify. He pursued everything during in his life. And at the end of his life, when he wrote Ecclesiastes, we find out that he had some major unrealized expectations. He was expecting something from these areas of his life, but testifies that separate and apart from God, it's like chasing the wind. And so as we are living life, I think it behooves us to look at some of these areas so that we can avoid just chasing wind. Man, I don't want to, you know, when I'm older and grayer and, you know, can't play with Legos anymore because of the age limit, I don't want to look back at my life and said, you know what? I have all these Legos and nothing else to show for it. It's just chasing wind. That's just one of the areas. But we want to look at these things so we can avoid just chasing wind in our lives and can move toward those things that have value and in which we can firmly place our expectations, looking into the month of February when we start this year's theme. Amen. So our opening scripture is that first area, Ecclesiastes 1, 13 through 14. And I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. So the first area is knowledge. It's wisdom. I would lump in education in there. Speaking of Solomon, 1 Kings 4:33 or 4:32 through 34 says, he spoke, this is Solomon, 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So he was into poetry, he was artistic. Also, he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the well. He knew all about trees. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon knew how things worked in nature. I mean, you know, you're a king, and like, hey, I want to study birds. But he did. He sought after that. I want to know about trees. Some people are like, yeah. Other people, if I was a king, I'd be like, trees? I'll have the tree guy look at the trees, you know, and not study. But he had knowledge about the animals, the fish. He studied philosophy, poetry, history. He was a student. Scripture says that he set his heart to seek and search out knowledge. Folks, this is not a casual checking out a book about birds at the library and looking through it and looking at the pictures and saying, oh, that's a pretty bird. And, oh, okay, I'm going to try to see a cardinal outside my house, and that's the extent of it. No, he probably knew exactly the cardinal's wingspan, average weight, how it flies, why it migrates, and what birds it doesn't like and hates and you know, fights and territory and all. He probably knew all that stuff. I think of some folks who know about some topics like maybe Star Wars, probably knew everything. If Star Wars existed, he probably knew everything about Star Wars. He probably knew all the planets and the landscape and, you know, like some Padawans of ours that live here that we know and love. He knew everything. It was a concerted effort on his part to gain knowledge. He didn't just stumble into knowledge. Solomon pursued knowledge, and the end of it all, what does he say? It's all meaningless, like chasing the wind. Is learning wrong? Absolutely not. Please, students, don't just say, well, I'm not studying anymore. Yes, free reign. No, we should educate ourselves. It helps us grow as individuals. We need to learn. We need to better ourselves. But our study should not be so focused on the world systems, how things work, how people think, and even how people worship in different religions, and leave out learning who Jesus is. I had a friend, I may have mentioned this before, a good friend, missionary kid as well. Parents are still on the mission field. And this guy moved to a different state and decided to start studying different religions. Why? Because he wanted to understand them so he can, you know, communicate and debate or whatever. That just led him down the wrong path. And he doesn't serve the Lord anymore and just way out there. I love him to death. Would hang out with him in a heartbeat. But man, he's out there. Why? Because he applied himself to knowledge that had nothing to do with. Now I understand there's times and places, and I encourage you, if the Lord says you need to study this to speak to, into someone's life or to understand, I get that. But if it's separate and apart from God, it will be like chasing wind. We can come to expect some meaning of life or greater fulfillment through our pursuit of knowledge, but separate and apart from God, we'll find out it is all meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1, further down in 16 through 18, again, Solomon, I communed with my heart saying, look, I've attained greatness. I've gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Amen. Knowledge can be a source of just chasing the wind. More degrees can be just source of chasing the wind, separate and apart from God, without God leading and directing us into those areas. We mentioned that Solomon was wealthy beyond measure. Let's see what he has to say about wealth and material goods. Our second category, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 10 and 11. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit hath the owners except to see them with their eyes? Some folks have an expectation that wealth or stuff will bring meaning to life or satisfaction or happiness in life. King Solomon was the wealthiest king this world has known, and he tells us that wealth and increase only causes the individual to need more wealth and increase so they can support the new lifestyle or standard of living or the expectation of family. As our expectations of what wealth can do for us isn't met, the natural result is us pursuing more wealth because maybe it's the next $1,000 or the next $10,000 or the next million that will satisfy us. Fiona and I bought our first home almost 3 years ago. 3 years ago this April we closed. Before then, we had lived in a small two-bedroom apartment for the first 9 years of our marriage. Imagine trying to have 20 to 30 young people in that small confined space. It was a blast. But it was small, but it was functional. We loved it. It was God's place for us, and we just said, all right, God, whatever we could do. We were trying to take care of debt, and we got out of debt and just trying to be good stewards, and God opened a door and we're able to buy a house. But we were so excited to move up, so to speak, in house. We packed up, moved things over, unpacked, and then realized how little space our accumulation of things actually took up in a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house. And it was like, hello, 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 down the hallway. Fiona, Fiona, Fiona. And it was just like, wow, we have nothing. And there's a lot of walls and a lot of rooms. Almost 3 years later, we still have rooms that aren't finished. We still have walls that don't have anything on them. We have been very patient and purposeful and thoughtful about filling the house slowly and as we have the funds. But I can completely see how the vicious cycle could start in one's life. We got a house, yes. Look, there's all this empty space, and man, the apartment furniture is junk now compared to this house. So let's go buy furniture. Let's go spend the money. Let's go put it on the car. Let's go get the latest furniture. Let's get the biggest carpets you could see and murals on the wall. And the need and the want for more wealth, more stuff just goes. I can see how that could happen. Thankfully, God, we had a proper perspective. Again, stuff in and of itself is not bad with the proper perspective and the proper mindset of the blessings of God. But I can see how, man, I got to have more. Oh, man, my neighbor's got a, you know, huge riding lawnmower. I need one, you know. And thankfully, mine has a push mower. You know, anyways, it doesn't even have a motor, but he's all excited about it. He doesn't have a snowblower. So it's like, thank God for the Joneses next to me because I don't have to keep up, you know. I love them to death. They're good friends. But I can see how that can be a vicious cycle. Can I tell you that a house, though a tremendous blessing, and though I thank God for it all the time, it's just a house. When I stop and evaluate our house, it doesn't bring me everlasting joy. It doesn't bring me peace. It doesn't bring me soul-soaking happiness where I just like, man, I felt God's presence in my 2-bedroom apartment. And felt the peace of God in my 2-bedroom apartment. You can feel it wherever your situation is. If you're homeless this morning, you could feel God right where you're at. It's a pursuit of, if I only had this. It can be just chasing the wind. Wealth and material goods are not inherently bad, but if we misappropriate our expectation that they will solve things to the detriment of our looking to Jesus Christ for fulfillment, we'll find that our wealth, our material possessions are all meaningless, like chasing wind. For all the technology people, as soon as you get a Xbox, man, Xbox One comes out. And then the next one is just like, man, I got to have that one. And I've got to have that. And you don't fulfill. I still have a PlayStation 2, praise God, and it's awesome. Come on over. I'll still beat you, Jordan. Amen. Because he's on like PS4 now, so he has no PS2 skills. Amen. Moving on. Others, that's a challenge. Others have unrealized expectations as they place their efforts in their career, or the better position, or the title behind their name. Ecclesiastes 4:13-16. Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. For he comes out of prison to be king, although he was born poor in his kingdom. I saw all the living who walk under the sun, and they were with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who came afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind. He realized when the king is old and gray, people move on. The people look to the next, forgetting the old. They're like, hey, cool, great king. All right, woo for the new king, new president. Yay, 8 years later, yay. You may work your entire life for a company, advancing your career, your position, your influence. And you know what? At the end of the day, when you decide to retire or step away, you're just going to be another former employee. And that's hard. It's like, oh man, but my career, that's what I live for. That's what we're talking about. Are you living for your career and the next position and the next title and the next promotion? Should we be good employees? Absolutely. Is it wrong to want to be the best at our jobs and potentially advance in our careers? Absolutely not. But if we are placing expectations in our career, our positions or titles, that they will bring meaning to our lives and satisfaction, happiness, in the end, we're going to find out our career, our position, our title, they were simply meaningless, like chasing the wind. Other folks love what they can build, their empire, so to speak, or they love their hobbies and the works of their hands. This is an area that can also become one of unrealized expectations, an area that we can expect to bring us fulfillment or happiness. As long as I'm on the boat. Not me, because I don't fish, and it's like boring to me. But, you know, some people, all you fishermen, hunters, I went once. Man, but Legos, come on now. Boom. Solomon did. Ecclesiastes 2. 4-11, I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. You know what? I wonder what a lemon tree, you know, if it can grow here. Let's build a lemon tree, you know, plant a lemon tree. We don't build them, but if it's Legos, you could probably build one. But plant a Lego lemon tree. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Hobbies aren't a bad thing. We should have them, some sort of hobby to balance us out, to get us that rest time, to get us away time. But building houses, planting trees, growing your world, enjoying the arts, experiencing the world through travel, getting into the music world, none of these are bad. But if we build a new house and can't come to church because we've got the drywall to put up, we'll find out we're just chasing wind. If we pour our time and finances into hobbies but never give to the kingdom of God or give to the missionary effort that is presented, we're going to realize at the end of the day that that hobby was meaningless, like chasing wind. Let's move from Solomon and check another story in Scripture that gives us our last area. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42 says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Mary was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Even our daily responsibilities, things that need to be taken care of, the laundry, the dishes, cleaning, cooking, mowing the lawn, snow blowing, all these things that we should do. And please don't let this message be your excuse to be lazy and your house to go downhill and your yard to grow, and please mow your yard and snow blow so someone doesn't die and trip and fall and, you know, you get sued and then, you know, you're taken to jail and then we never see you again. But if we do our responsibilities to the detriment of our relationship with Jesus Christ, at the end of the day, you'll realize that it was meaningless. And you were chasing wind the whole time because you did not step back and take time to know Jesus. You ever fall into bed at night exhausted from the day, all the things you did, and it hits you that, you know what, I didn't even talk to God today. I didn't even read his word. But man, I had to snow blow, and then, you know, there's this pile high of dishes. And you know what, we need to take care of our responsibilities. But man, if you haven't gotten a hold of God, that can just become this is what I expect of myself. This is where I find, I finish all my tasks, but yet I didn't talk to God. And it can be just chasing the wind. Martha was a servant and a hard worker. And I'm sure Mary was the same, but she understood the moment that she was in, that the Almighty God was in their house, and the importance of laying the chores aside for that moment. You know what? I can do that later at night. Maybe that's what is the key, the practical application. You know what? I'm going to push those things off till evening. Instead of, you know what? I'm going to pray tonight. You know what's going to happen? You're going to go to bed probably. But if we say, you know what? I'm going to focus first on God. And then, you know what? I'm going to push that back and get those things done. That's the proper way. Otherwise, it will be just chasing wind. Friend, when we stand before the throne of God one day and give an account for our lives, what will you be able to say? Will it only be knowledge that you have as a memento of your life, a stack of degrees that you present to the Lord? Say, God, this is what I did with my life. I know about everything. Man, and Star Wars, I know every single thing. Will it only be knowledge that you have as a, I already said that. Will you only be able to show the balance sheet of your 401k and the 8 or 9 figures that you stockpiled up? Or will you pull out your iPhone and show God a picture of your 3 or 4 bedroom house? Like, God, look, this is what I got. You like my house? Whoop. Oh, landscape, a little better view. You know, or hey, God, look at my diesel truck. Come on now. Look at the one that's in the garage that is not working because I'm still fixing it. You know? Oh, my. Will you only be able to show your career path that you took and the impact that you made for your company to help them grow a profit, and that's all? Will you only be able to show the collection of Legos or guns or a passport full of stamps from different countries that you visited to, and that's all? Will you only be able to say that you didn't have much, but you kept your house running smooth and all your responsibilities were taken care of, and that's all that you have to show for? Will you show all these things, but yet have no substance in the things that really matter? No relationship with the God that will someday judge your life based on his word. Will you look back at the end of your life and look at things and say, man, all I've been doing is chasing wind. All I've been doing is chasing wind. Today's an introspective message, and if you would stand with me, I hope you've already begun to do some introspective thinking, looking at where you're placing your expectations in, and seeing if in fact there are areas that you are just chasing wind. Again, none of these areas are bad. But as the scripture says in Hebrews, laying aside the weights that so doth easily beset us. It's not a sin, but it's a weight. And there are things that just we get so wrapped up in. We get so wrapped up in that, man, we look back next year, January, and say, man, I didn't do any of my goals. I didn't reach any of my goals. Why? Because I've just been chasing the wind. Been just chasing the wind. As soon as we recognize we're placing value in things that are going to result in nothing, we can make a change, though. We can rearrange our lives. We can reprioritize our efforts. If you've never given Jesus Christ a chance, committed yourself to learning about him, today is your day to make that step. Why not chase something that will bring an expected end? We can expect amazing things through Christ, and we're going to be talking about that all through this year. But we have to get away from chasing things that don't matter. That is just wind. And to the church body, a final thought, 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it under subjection." I want to encourage all those who have committed to the 21 days of fasting, prayer and fasting. Pastor pointed out that one of the things that occurs is in a fast is a subjection of our flesh to the spirit. And this scripture points out that a result of us disciplining our bodies, bringing them into subjection, is that we won't run the race and fight the fight as someone who is beating the air or chasing the wind this morning. So I want to encourage you, while you're fasting, ask the Lord, are there any areas that I've been just chasing wind, God? And he'll start to reveal as he breaks away the flesh, and man, your body goes through the detoxification and your soul begins to detox, as Pastor has been talking to us about. I believe that during these 21 days, God is going to reveal to some of us some of these areas that we've been putting a whole lot of stock into that we need to just say, you know what? They're not bad, but let me realign and let me take that back a notch and focus on the things that matter. Because God, I don't want to chase wind. I want to chase you. I want to chase after you. Amen. As the worship team begins to sing, I want to encourage you to find a place to talk to the Lord. Find a place to be introspective this morning and say, God, what are the areas? Am I chasing wealth? Am I chasing only wealth? Am I chasing only my career? Is that my entire focus? Is it relationships, something we didn't even talk about this morning? Is it wealth? Is it hobbies? Is it travel? Is it the arts? Is it knowledge? Am I putting all this stock in everything, but yet it's just chasing wind, and I don't see anything for my efforts? This message is for you to this morning. Won't you come this morning, find a place to pray? If you need a healing touch in your body, we want to encourage you, come up to here to the left side. We will have ministers who pray with you. If you've had some areas in your life that you know are areas that you're chasing around, chasing your tail, come on to the middle. We'll have some ministers pray with you. And if you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, never been filled with His Spirit, come on down to the right, and you can begin that this morning. Start chasing after something that is positive, something that will have value, that you can expect something to result from. Find a place to pray this morning. Should I stumble again? I'm calling.